Jerry Bader Show 936. If you have any thoughts on this, I mean, you can go anywhere you want with it. The 70th anniversary of the D-Day invasion, Allied forces led by the United States, beginning the liberation of occupied France. Give a call, or we're going to move on to other things. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Marking the event, President Obama, in a keynote address at the American Cemetery at Omaha Beach, whenever the world makes you cynical, stop and think of these men, Mr. Obama said in his keynote address. Thousands of people returned Friday to the site of the pivotal battle to remember why America and our allies gave so much for the survival of liberty at its moment of maximum peril, Mr. Obama said. Now, he's right. That was the moment of maximum peril for liberty. I do agree. But liberty is always at peril. It is not the world that makes me cynical, Mr. President. It is you. It is you that makes me cynical. The leadership it took, not just in President Roosevelt, but the leadership of a nation, you find offensive. You believe in leading from behind. The type of leadership it took, again, as a nation, not just as an individual in FDR, I find it hard to imagine the United States mustering that today. And while it's important to celebrate, and of course there are still those with us, though a dwindling number that came back from D-Day, well, it's important to remember their contributions and honor the memories of those who didn't come home. And I'm trying not to be negative on this day, that it should be to honor their accomplishment, their achievement. The greatest act of liberty preservation perhaps the world has ever seen. It's hard for me not to be cynical and look at where we are versus where we were then. And the leadership that formed, the global leadership that formed from World War II, but specifically that day, that liberating moment, made the United States the leader of the free world after the Cold War. Right, after World War II and into the Cold War. And I am saddened that we're not that country anymore. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Paul on the road. Paul, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Hey, Jerry. I pretty much think all the listeners and everybody on a day like today, I know I do, thank anybody who actually lived at that time, because not only did our troops and our soldiers make the sacrifices out there, but their families made massive sacrifices here at home. Industry, the private sector, everything changed for that period of time in everybody's lives. Not only like today when our troops go away and you're without a family member, but they had to make, you know, infrastructure changes and the way of life and the way of living during that time. So anybody from that era, that time frame, had to sacrifice and step up for the cause. And so when I, on anniversaries and things like today, I make sure I thank those people. I have elderly in my neighborhood from that era. I thank them. I know my father had brothers that are no longer with us who fought, and you know, they were the greatest generation. And it's sad to say that the ones today can't live up to what they did for us.
Yeah, you know, and to your point, and that is why Tom Brokaw did coin the phrase "greatest generation." To your point, the things you're talking about. Those were present at D-Day. We were not prepared for war on December 7th, 1941. By June 6th, 1944, we had not just brave men who were ready to die for their country. Paul, we had the machinery of war. We had the tanks and jeeps and planes and guns because of Rosie the Riveter, because of the people you're talking about. You're right. Those who stayed and built the machines of war were every bit. That's a fabulous point. Thanks a lot for the call. That's something that they achieved that was as monumental as anything in the war effort. They built the army. They built the infrastructure. We were in a very isolationist mode in this country on December 7th, 1941. We had no interest in, quote unquote, other countries' wars. And yeah, even Great Britain almost fell to the Nazis. And we did nothing. We did offer some technical support, some bombers before we were in the war earnest, but I get that. But I mean, in terms of, okay, this is a fight that we need to take up, we didn't do that in Europe until after Pearl Harbor. Now, President Roosevelt was doing some, you know, he, even in 1939, 1940, we were beginning, you know, we may need long-range bombers, the 17. I mean, we were doing some preparation. But it wasn't until after Pearl Harbor we knew we were going to need something like the B-29. It wasn't until after Pearl Harbor, you know what? These factories that were producing cars and washing machines and everything else, we need them. We need them, and we need them right now to build a war machine. And that is a fabulous point, and it goes to a larger point. It was still a time in our history when the country wasn't split right in two. That's not to say Republicans didn't criticize Roosevelt, and I'm not suggesting that. And I'm not even saying Republicans didn't at time question his prosecution of the war. I'm not even saying that. But it was a very different time. And I think, and this is just with, I believe, the most current presidency, that we are now ashamed of our leadership role. And that's why I think, you know, if anything can come out of today's anniversary, it's to remember when we cherished it and were proud of it. Jeremiah on the road. Jeremiah, go ahead.
Hey, Jerry. The only reason I called it is because, you know, I just want to take off a little bit on what you were saying. I believe the president is more of a symptom rather than what, you know, the actual problem. You know, I don't think society would have handled D-Day today. I don't think we would have put up with losing that many men. I really don't. Look at what we had to deal with invading Iraq. I mean, yeah, it was terrible. We lost, you know, thousands of people. But, I mean, D-Day, permanently, they lost tens of thousands. I don't think our society would do that anymore.
You know, I have made that case before, and people usually criticize me when I say that. I've made the case, I don't know if this country could survive economic upheaval like the Great Depression. Look at how the...
Oh, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know, look how, quote-unquote, the Great Recession... You know, how terrible we thought that was. And that wasn't, I mean, my gosh, it didn't even compare in any way, shape, or form to the Great Depression, even though liberals try to say that it was. I have brought that up before, too. Would we have the fortitude to do what needed to be done? In recent years, military strategy has been almost entirely about minimizing casualties. You always try to minimize casualties. I understand that. But that became the number one factor. Not accomplishment of mission, but what can we do to not lose anybody? Again, that should always be a priority. Don't get me wrong. But it is just a very different world. All right, I'm going to get on to different things. I actually have got a lot to get to here. There's a story about a state senator that Democrats, a Republican state senator, Democrats are trying to get off the ballot. If we see any calls, Jason, that's fine. We can take them. Otherwise, we're going to get moving on here. It's 9:46.
all things Jerry Bader. JerryBaderShow.com.